So I think, you know, I look at all of you and I think, you know, you're single now. And you could be single because of all kinds of reasons. You know, people are in very different states when you are single. It could be that you've never found anybody yet that, you know, to marry. It could be that you're not looking you know, to find anybody to marry. Maybe you've never been married, and it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes it is that way, that you're not really looking to marry. It could be that you're single because your mate either died or you went through a divorce. And that's just tragic in life, going through times like that. I think my husband died, and I was 48, and it was just devastating at the time. I really, you know, thought that I would die too, but I didn't. And so I went on. So I'll share with you some of my testimony, you know, tonight. I've been single now 30 years. And I've learned some things, and I think you have to learn how to be single. Sometimes you have sickness to deal with, or you have a handicap, or, you know, something has left you single for whatever reason. And so you can, you know, look at it. Their feelings come with it. Like sometimes you feel left out with people. Sometimes you feel like the odd one, or you can feel inferior, or you can feel intimidated. You know, I've worked with singles now for these 30 years, and so I do know that, especially in those early days after you've just become single, that you really cannot stand to be around married people. I mean, it really is just too hurtful when you see families together. And so sometimes it causes you to be depressed or rejected, you know, on the outside. And those are feelings that, unless you're single, you really don't know what it's like. You have no idea what it's like to be in the midst of people or coming out of a dark time of your life, and you really can't tell anybody, and unless somebody's been through that same thing. And then they know how you feel. And so, you know, I want to tell you that, you know, whatever happens, that God wants you to be contented in whatever state you are in. And that's the one thing I've learned the hard way. You know, I've not married again. But I've learned to be contented. And I looked up that word, contented. And it means pleased in the situation that you're in. So, you know, are you pleased? Are you pleased? Are you okay with the situation that you're in? And that's one of the first things that you want to learn to do and to be, is to get rid of all the negative feelings, and you can do it, about the situation that you're in. And get to a place with God where it's not a negative. And I think that's what I want to bring tonight. I bring hope, you know, for your future. And I bring hope that you can get to a place in your life where you will feel whole. And I've worked with a lot of people, and I've seen them make a lot of progress. And I know that you will too. And so if, let's look at Philippians 4:11. I'll give you some scriptures, and I see a lot of you have Bibles and things to take notes on, and that's very good. Philippians 4:11. If you don't have a Bible, I'll read to you. And it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry, abound, and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And so I remember that. That was like a sign I put up in my house. I can do this. I can do everything that needs to be done. And I still do that. It's still one of the confessions. There are advantages to being single. You know, every state in life has advantages and disadvantages. Being married has disadvantages and has advantages. Being single has disadvantages and it has advantages both. So you want to, you know, start to realize that there are advantages to your situation. Because believe me, being, desperate and anxious about your situation that you're in just does not make you attractive. There really isn't anything really tougher than being around somebody that is single and they're just so down and out and desperate about it. It just doesn't draw friends to you or family to you, or it doesn't do anything to advance you in life. So because basically people really don't, they're not that interested in other people's problems. You have to realize that. Hallelujah. Shall we say praise the Lord? And so, you do have a couple of friends that you can talk with. But for the most part, people just are busy and they have things to do and they're not really that interested. So I think a good, attitude to take is just that, I'm okay with this where I am right now. I'm okay with this. I'm contented with this. And the Bible says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Now, I may not be your regular singles teacher, but what I'm going to give you is good, really good advice that's going to help you. So you can decide what kind of a single you want to be. I mean, here's where we are right now. We're all single. And we can decide to be okay with that and then decide what kind of a single do you want to be. Now, I looked up the word single, and it was funny, the definitions. This is out of the dictionary. It says apart, solitude, exclusive, particular, quaint, bizarre. This is for single. Eccentric, atypical. And we go again to isolated, without help, self-pity, and I had full of problems, full of challenges. We'll talk to anybody who will listen. And when people see you, they'll go the other way. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi. Now, that's one definition of being single. Now, other definitions, though, with the same word. Now, I got this out of the dictionary. It says complete, mature, alive, confident, open-hearted, forthright, undivided, wholehearted, strong, pure, steady, steadfast, supportive, unfaltering, unswerving, undeviating, unselfish, giving, and loving. I don't know who wrote all those definitions. I really don't. But you can pick, you see, how you want to live out your life. And I say, pick the good things. Pick being open-hearted and loving and kind and forthright, And so God gave me three words for you tonight. He says purpose, power, and praise. Purpose, power, and praise. And I think those things will help you to get through to where you want to be. And if you have your Bibles, let's look at Ephesians 2. Your purpose is one of the things that is a definite advantage, what I think, to being single. It's much easier to find your purpose in life. Now, you don't have to be single to find your purpose in life, for sure. Maybe you already did find your purpose, what you were born to do. Everyone has a purpose, and it has nothing to do whether you're married or not married. But there's something for you to do that when you stand before God, He's going to ask you, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? Now, granted, parenthood and, you know, when you're married, those are, I think, the highest callings there are. But it's not the only callings. And I think that's where people get mixed up. Men and women, they raise a child, and the child, you have them for such a short period of time, and off they go. And when they hit about 20, you know, you really cannot even say much to them or do anything. You have to just learn to let them go with their life. You have them for just a few years. And I see that myself, how people, because they don't realize that there's something else for them to do aside from being a parent, that they just try to parent all their life. And then all they do is end up meddling in people's and controlling people's lives. And they really think that it's parenting. You have grandchildren. I'm just have my third great-grandchild is coming, and that's a blessing. And then my son David just had a child, so we have 20 years difference in their grandchildren. What a blessing it is. And I just love it. But I can get so caught up in that and miss what I'm to do, my purpose for my life. And women fall apart, and men fall apart when the kids leave. And you know, men go through midlife crisis, and women go through midlife things because they don't have any purpose. And that was the one thing I saw when I became single, was that people, I saw that as a minister, they have nothing. Once the kids are gone, they're done. They have never developed themselves. All they've done all their life is raise kids and been in the home. And that's a lovely thing to do. But somewhere you've got to carve out a purpose for you, what your life is to be. And men can get caught up in, you know, making a living, and then you know, you've got debts, and you can't even really think about, what do I want to do? It doesn't matter. I got to pay these bills. That's what I want to do. I'm going to get rid of these debts. I wanted to provide for my family, and they go through their lives, and they've never really even scratched the surface of the purpose for their lives. So I want to tell you that today, as a single, you can begin on this. You have children. You may have a job. You may have a job that's like a purpose. But find out what that is. And take down the scripture in Ephesians 2. I'm sure that you should know this, being here in this church. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. It says, "For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests, asking that you be filled with the full, deep, clear," how many know this, "knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and the understanding of discernment of spiritual things, that you walk and live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him and desiring to please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God." These are scriptures that you have to get to know in your heart and read them every day or once a week or have them there before you, that you just begin to use a little extra time that you have to get that word in your heart. Say, "Lord, I'm seeking you for my purpose." You can pray in the Holy Spirit that your purpose comes clear. Because I find not too many people really know. And then it isn't a point that you reach. It's something you do the rest of your life. Because you start out, and then you always need God's guidance every day. You know, Jesus had a purpose. It says, "For this purpose was the Son of God manifest." Who knows what the rest of that is? To destroy the works of the evil one. He came to go down to hell and take those keys. He says, "Give me those keys to from Satan, the keys of death, hell, sickness, and disease. That was his purpose. And when he said it is finished, that's what he meant. He had to come, he had to go down into hell, take that from Satan. He took, the prisoners that were there, the people that had been godly people, that hadn't gone to heaven, they came up from the earth through heaven with him. It was wonderful. And he robbed Satan of all his power. He did that for us. And then, not only that, but then he gave all power and authority to the church. He said, now here, I give this to you. All power, all authority has been given to the church. Wow. That was his purpose. And he came only to the lost children of Israel. Think about that. I mean, occasionally he moved over that and healed Gentiles. He did, but his purpose was to come to the lost house of Israel. And then Paul came, and his purpose was to bring the word of God, the resurrection, the born again to the Gentiles. Thank God, Gentiles that we all are for the most part. I'm so grateful that he did that. He stayed faithful to what was done. You have a purpose. There's a reason placed in your heart when you were born. It fits you like a glove. That's the one thing I did after Dave died. January, my dad died, 87. Dave died in April. I closed the church we were pastoring in May. And then I lost my job. We were still working at the Bible school, but I asked them if I could take 3 months off to seek the Lord. I had a little bit of money, a little bit of insurance money. I just did not know what to do. It just threw me for a loop. I always thought, well, the two of us, we had set out to serve God together. And so they said, all right, we'll let you go ahead and take your time off, but you can't have this job. And I love my job. I was working at Alumni for 7 years. But I had nothing. I had nothing. I had my kids. And so I took those 3 months, and I just sat before God. I read my Bible, prayed. And somebody told me, if you're going to seek God, to double up on the word. And one day, I was just sitting there, like, minding my own business, in my living room. I know I was expecting it. I had a friend praying with me also. And bam, just came down on me. And the Lord said, I've called you to travel and teach. So I want you to stay in the ministry. Because I told him at this point, I was no longer playing. You know how we play with God. Oh, Lord, I give you my life, but I won't go here, and I won't go there, and I won't do that. I don't think I want to do that. That's the way I was all my life. Or serving this one, or I serve this one, or always trying to help. Just strung out. We were both so strung out trying to be ministers. I said, all right, I'm done with that, whatever it is. I'll go back to college. I didn't have my degree. I'll go back to Rhema. I've got to support this kids. Okay. Travel and teach. And it was like it was too good to be true. It was what I always ever wanted to do. So don't ever be afraid to ask God what your purpose is. It's going to fit you well. You might not get it like that. I remember the first time I told somebody to be born again, and I told them my story. I got up from being born again and cut my hair. Well, I led this girl to the Lord, and she went and cut her hair that next day. That's not what I meant, We tell you these stories just to inspire you, Just your purpose may come in stages. You may already be far ahead of where I was. And know some things. So don't get confused about it, but just take your time and give your life to God. in these years that you're searching? I don't know what you've come out of. All of you, you know, are a little bit older. You're not just right out of high school. So you have a past. You have some things you've been through. But now's the time to get on track. It's never too late. I was 48 when that happened. I was 49. Dave was 50. And so, my gosh. Of course, I did everything I shouldn't have. And I have this little, they wrote my story in this. So I put some of those on the table. It's a copy of the Word of Faith. I was so honored when I put my story in there. And I went and talked to this girl, and they said, we want to know, because they'd heard about all the healings that had happened in our meeting. So she says, come on up, we're going to interview you. Well, I know, Raymond, I thought my chances of being in anything is not... They have so many. I mean, we've got 35,000 graduates. But the girl was from Pittsburgh that interviewed me. So she puts on her little tape player. And she says, now tell me, what have you been doing? So, oh, we go blah, 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 blah. What I thought about everything. And I said, did you record that all? She just smiled at me. So 6 months later, then they said, there's an article going to come out. And I said, what? I was afraid to open it. I went and got one. It sat on my desk for 3 days before I could even open it. I was terrified. And when I read it, I thought, oh, my God, she wrote everything I said. I wanted to look good. I wanted it to be. Kathy Fleming just went out there, and she just did everything right, and everything just came to her. And oh, it was everything I did that was wrong, and I quit my job right away. And I had told people, I mean, I interviewed people and helped them to get into ministry. I said, the first thing you do is you never quit your job. That's the first thing I did. I just couldn't believe it. But I found my purpose, and here I am 30 years later. And that's what I tell people. You know, the hardest thing, the broke my heart, broke my back, turned and worked and made me who I am. Because I'd have still been just teaching kids and children. I know it. I like to be in the background. I don't like to be up front. I never want to be up front. I still get little kind of things inside of me when they say, you're ready. My first meetings, I thought, where's the door? I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. I quit every week. I quit this. This is not working for me. So I tell you all this to tell you what it's truthfully like. But through it all, I grew up. And it was finding that purpose.